adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, guess who's back? It's Adam Carolla.
Were you gone?
And that's my partner, Dr. Drew, over there.
So, how is it flying with a nose full of congestion like
very
that?
Very sassy,
yeah,
Drew.
Yeah, say, nice.
I wasn't congested until I got on the, you know, until I got up in the plane.
Well, that's when it counts, that going down part where you feel like your head's going to explode.
No, it did explode.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I, first off, my sunglasses, which I had propped up on my forehead.
With the lovey shade over your eyes.
Clear on the other side of the plane. But I did put my hand up to ponder, you know, you scratch your head when you're thinking.
Yeah.
Just a bloody stump.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. Arteries hanging out.
It's good.
And I tried to talk on the cell phone, but that didn't work. So my head did actually explode, Drew.
That's good.
That's where you're wrong.
Sorry.
All right, so phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm just back from New Orleans, which is a very bizarre town.
Yeah.
Lots of color there. Lots of texture. You know what I mean? It's a town.
Shiny.
It's got its smells.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got its vibe. It's not like L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone just gets in the car and talks on a cell phone, but boy, that New Orleans is crazy.
Yeah,
and I'm learning to hate people from Massachusetts, by the way.
Why?
They're obnoxious fans. I didn't know how obnoxious the Bostonians were. Oh, they're really obnoxious.
We can be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, walking around last night after the Pats won, they're all the same dude. Big, husky guys who sound like Dickey from the Boston.
Yeah, oh, Dickey's a classic Bostonian guy. Imagine Dickey with an attitude.
Well, no, Dickey plus 5 inches, plus 50 pounds.
Plus 6 beers.
6?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow! Oh, my God, everyone. Go Pats! And then just accosting you and grabbing you. Are you a Pats fan? Like, what are you going to say? Of course. Yeah, I'm a Pats fan. I'm from Foxborough. Oh, yeah, all right. Hey, you don't believe me. No, I. Why wouldn't I? Who's bragging about being from Foxborough? You want to see my license? No, I don't. Yeah, all right, hold on. Stu, come here, hold this guy. What are you doing with all those kind of... Oh, my God. It's all the same guy. Big, fat, white, obnoxious dudes.
A lot of drunk off their ass. A lot of, like, translucent white with freckles kind of guy, too. Does that hold?
Just big, barrel-chested guys. Not big from working out.
Yeah.
Just big from being big.
Yeah.
And eating a lot of, you know, buffalo wings and fried cheese. And, they were beside themselves. I mean, they were so happy with that Pats victory. And they're just marching up and down town, up and down Bourbon Street. And it wasn't enough that they'd won. You know, they had to continue winning, you know.
Right, reliving it.
You weren't one of those people didn't believe, were you? No, I wanted them to win. That's right, you did. Go Pats! This is like crazy. I hope they get killed next year. I've just had an ass full of the Pats fans. I mean, I understand you want to go out, get drunk, and celebrate, but, these guys were a pain in the ass. Sarah?
Yes.
You're 20. What's up?
Okay. First of all, since you don't like people from Massachusetts, I just got one saying for you. Park the car and have a yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done with the people from the Boston area, at least.
I've never actually been there, so. Really, I just had a comment for you. I was listening. I can't even remember
Hold on, Drew. How far is Foxborough from Boston?
If I remember, it's like a suburb. It's like near Framingham.
All right, that's good. Oh, near Framingham. Well, I didn't know that. Well, now I know exactly where it is.
It's a little bit west.
I could draw a map now.
A little bit west.
Sarah?
Yeah.
What was your comment?
My comment was on, like, a couple nights ago, I guess I heard you talking, or maybe a couple of weeks
ago. Oh, my God. She's been eating my dogs.
Those are my dogs.
Wow.
My Sharpay and my Jack Russell. Sorry, the Sharpay must have heard something.
Sharpay and a Jack Russell.
Oh, what a mixture.
You want that?
Huh?
No. Some bets here?
All right, so get that comment out for the dogs freak out again. Or do they bark every time you try to make a point, or is this just coincidence?
No, they bark every time they hear something, so.
Okay.
Neighbors bark, explain.
Go right ahead. Here we go.
My comment is just how you were saying, like, the more girls or women use vibrators, the more that lowers their libido.
No, we didn't say that.
No, yeah, you no. said that a couple weeks ago.
No, we said that some women can be desensitized by it. They can be harder for them to have orgasm sometimes the old-fashioned way if they get used to the vibrator, some women.
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
That's what we were saying.
Right.
Wow.
Well, you can argue with that if you want. Do you have a vibrator?
I do. It's a violet-purple Hustler one.
And how often do you use it?
I'd imagine someone with a Sharpay and a Jack Russell would have a violet-purple vibrator. How often?
Sometimes once a day, sometimes two or three.
Ooh. Okay. So we can put you down for probably about 10, 15 times a week.
Yeah.
And now, has it changed anything when you're with a man?
No, not really.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do have a boyfriend.
Is it purple?
No, it's not purple.
Are you having purple? You're with him in addition to your purple friend?
Yes.
Wow.
Sometimes we use both. Sometimes I use both.
Both the human and the purple.
So you have no trouble with the orgasm minus the vibrator with him?
No.
Okay.
No trouble.
That's good.
All right. How long have you been on the vibrator diet?
The vibrator diet, gosh, probably since like 8th or 9th grade.
Wow.
It's a lot of mileage.
Yeah, how'd you
actually,
get one?
The first thing I used was, Brookstone?
Yeah.
You know, like the personal massagers, like you're supposed to use on your muscles?
Yeah, right. Sure.
Started with one of those.
And you graduated to this purple one, which is probably now, if you actually took the distance that it's been in and been out, would actually be further than the channel that goes under
the moon and back.
English. When's that going to the English Channel?
English Channel.
Yeah.
But it's probably whittled down, too,
Oh, yeah, like a bomb pop.
Or like a sharp pencil or something.
Started off full size. Yes, time and wind and friction is taking it down. All right, so I don't know where the point is.
She's
but
fine.
That's fine.
She was going to sing the praises of vibrator.
All right, Michael.
Made her point.
Yeah, hey, guys.
19, what's up?
Well, I've called twice before. I called on Thursday. I didn't get through. I was going to ask about night terrors.
What about them?
I wanted to know what they are and how I can stop.
Well, they are sort of a family of disorders where you wake up in the middle of the night and are frightened. You jump up. You may yell. You may feel frozen or locked in. Sometimes
what happens, I feel frozen in place. I feel paralyzed.
Yeah.
I can't see. I can't move.
Oftentimes there can be a seizure disorder associated with that, but oftentimes it's emotionally based. Are you on any medication?
That's exactly what I have. There's a feeling like inside my body, every inch of my body is like shaking inside. I don't know if I'm physically shaking, but
well, maybe you're having a seizure. It's possible it's seizure. So you really need to get looked into about this.
And the other day, I woke up in the middle of a night terror, and I fantasized that I was, like, back in, like, I'd driven somewhere that day, and I fantasized I was back in the car.
You're in kind of a dream state with all of this.
Yeah.
So, again, Michael, it may have an emotional basis, or it may have a, pure medical, and you do need to have this looked into.
What should he do?
Just go see a regular doctor. That's it.
No, doesn't have to go to sleep clinic
He might have to. The way I would approach this, I mean, if I had, sort of full ability to access resources.
Get his money and then.
Get an MRI, get his EEG, get a psychiatrist evaluated.
What's an EEG? What's different about that than an MRI?
The MRI is a picture of your brain. The EEG is the brainwave, the electroencephalogram.
I thought you were going to say drawing.
No, not drawing.
Well, one's a picture. I thought there would be
well,
like
and
a
I was
charcoal
making
sketch.
Like a drawing too, yeah.
Yeah. One's a cartoon. Cartoonist rendering of your brain?
Right. It's like a sort of a Ren and Stimpy style.
Oversized.
Yeah.
Brandon?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been seeing this girl for about 2 months. And last night, me and my best friend were out, and, like, she told me that she had feelings for me, and we ended up sleeping together. And now I don't know what to do about the other girl.
Wait, you lost me a little bit. You've had a girlfriend for how long?
We've been together for about 2 months.
2 months. And this was just a friend of yours?
Yeah, my best friend.
She is your best friend?
Yeah, I live out in the middle of nowhere, and, like, there ain't many guys around here to hang out with.
So. Oh, boy. So
what'd he do?
He slept with his best friend. It was a girl?
Yeah.
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 And, you know, you got to break up with your girlfriend.
Why?
Why not?
She's sprung already.
What do you mean she's sprung?
Like, she's already, like, hooked on me.
The S word. Listen, if she's hooked on you, she either she needs to either be evaluated or you must label her a flawed person emotionally, mentally. She must have zero capacity emotionally if she's hooked on Brandon.
Well, Brandon, whether she's hooked or not, you're not doing her any favor by maintaining a relationship and still cheating. That's ridiculous.
Oh, let me tell you, I just ate more batter.
Yeah, fried stuff.
Yeah. Here, let me tell you the thing about the fried stuff. It's a little bit of a cop-out. Here's what I'm saying.
You can put anything in it tastes good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. People are like, have you tried our shrimp? Have you tried our crawdad tails?
Well, so how do you think they got the crawdad thing going?
Yeah.
They fry them up.
Yeah. I understand you could take a rat tail and fry it up, and it wouldn't be half bad. And there wasn't a goddamn thing that was fried that I ate, whether it was the shrimp or the crawdad or the claw, the shrimp claw, the soft-shell crab, whatever. There was not a thing that wouldn't have been better if it was just a little piece of white meat chicken, piece of breast meat.
Oh, interesting.
In the same batter.
Wow.
Deep fried with the same red sort of marinara sauce.
And they put those crawdads in everything. I was down there once. They had them in, like, burritos and omelets and calzones with the crawdads. The little lobsters.
Yeah.
Crawdads. Yeah.
Crayfish. Well, they're crawfish, they call them.
Crawfish.
Yeah. They're a little crazy with the seafood and the batter back there. And listen, batter, when you're dipping stuff in batter, you're basically apologizing for what you're dipping in the batter. You're saying, this tastes like S, minus the batter, but don't worry. You could take a golf ball, roll it in some of that batter, and throw it in the deep fryer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't eat a dozen of them, but you'd eat eight of them if you're watching a game and someone put a basket in front of you.
And there's a second element to that, too, another layer to that, too, which is don't worry about the sort of sanitary quality here. It's all fried up. We take care of that with the heat.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anything from this either because it's been fried.
That Crisco is coming in about 1,300 degrees, right. So don't worry. Whatever was on that crawfish is gone now, long gone. As a matter of fact, we're charging you for it. It's actually part of the meal.
Hepatitis C.
Nothing but crawdads.
Do you spend time on Bourbon Street? Or you just go.
Yeah.
Is that where you hang, or what do you?
No, we can't hang that much on Bourbon Street because there's too many drunken idiots like attacking us, And when people get drunk, they just get obnoxious as all
really?
Hell. Yeah, I don't
shocking.
Know if you know that about
that is,
people.
That is shocking.
Oh, there's some behemoth of a guy needed to slap my ass, and I just start yelling at everyone, and they think I'm a colossal prick, you know. I get some guy who's trying to take a picture. Hey, take a picture with my wife. Take a picture of my wife. You're like, yeah, all right, no problem. You put your arm around her. Isn't she hot? Yeah, she's fine. All right, now, okay. Oh, now act like you're happy to be there. I'm kind of in a hurry. Act like you want to be there. Come on. He's holding the camera. He's screwing around. It's like, hey, after about 5 minutes of him, like, talking while the camera's held up to him but not taking the goddamn picture, it's like, hey, take the picture. Oh, wait a minute. Don't. So I just left. And then the guy's like, how dare you? He was like, oh, where are you going? I can't believe it. I'm like, well, you didn't take the picture. And I just said, hey, if you weren't acting like a dick, you'd have your picture. Blow yourself. See, I go from medium to colossal prick in just seconds.
It's amazing, that transformation.
I know, but
seamless.
Listen, everybody.
Quite a transition.
Don't F with people. I'm holding still. I got my arm around your wife. I got no problem with taking the picture. But now we're going on our fourth or fifth lap of you talking while you're holding the camera and my third request to take the picture. And after that, I'm just leaving. Well, and what do I care? What do you care? Some drunken guy from Foxborough is pissed now because he stood there for an hour holding a disposable camera while your arm was around his wife? F you. Chaz?
Hello?
No, not you, Chaz, but
no.
What's up, Chaz?
How can we help you, brother?
F you, Chaz.
Adam?
Well, wait a minute. Let me say this.
Oh, here we go.
I got to get off my chest because you understand Jimmy and I were just accosted down there. I mean, this was our crowd, bunch of drunken football fans on Bourbon Street. And here's the deal, and tell me if you disagree. As a quasi-celebrity, my feel it is my job to do things within reason, to shake your hand, to sign your autograph, to take your picture. Yeah. But if you want to push it to the step further, like the one guy who had to hit me in the ass, and you're gonna be told to F off almost immediately, and you're gonna be abused.
It's a boundary issue. They're violating boundaries at that point.
Right, yeah. And I'll be as nice as anybody is to me, but you start up, and that's it. I give you a little shot, and you shoot back something, and that's it.
So most people have is people to handle that. They have a security guy to come in and whisk these guys off, you know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. We don't do that. We were shooting something for MTV last night. We did have a security guard, but he was sitting about 40 feet away from the action the entire time. I'm not sure. I've done a few things that required security guards to sort of out on the street with you. Listen, I'd be better off with a paper mache trash can lid fending people off. These guys are the laziest S's in the world. I'm sorry for all you guys who are involved with security, but there's a reason you're involved with security, and that's the reason you're horrible, horrible employees. I had to go get this guy like 3 times. Hey, could you get over? Like, there's a big mob of people around us, and you're standing 30 feet away, and you're not even looking.
Yeah.
I mean, put it this way. There was like 15 people working involved with this shoot. There was one guy sitting on the curb, one guy with his ass on the ground. Guess which guy? Security. All right. And look, they got to pay him more. I'm with you. It's like the airport.
Chaz.
Dude, Adam, you're a god, man.
Yeah. Yeah, want to take a picture? Time's up, scrub. Let's go.
Dude, I have your name on both my shoes.
All right.
Dude.
What's happening?
You're gay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I called in on Thursday, and I talked to Stryker and Drew.
Yeah.
About the bases.
Oh, yeah. We got the baseball diamond all squared away.
Yeah. All right. Why is he calling back then?
I don't know.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Wow.
Sure. Do we just want to talk to the same jack-offs day after day? I talked to you yesterday, so I'm calling back. And remember what we talked about before? We're going to talk about that again because sometimes people want to hear stuff twice. Well, what is this kid's? Does he have a question?
He just wants to. He wants to speak to his idol. That's all. It's all right.
No,
keep going.
I know. I'm.
Come on.
Well, he told us to hold on.
Here we are.
I'm just killing time here.
No, hold on.
Hey, Chaz.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're a fan of the show.
Cool.
Thanks. Do you have anything to say though? I mean, you have any?
Yeah. How should I persist getting to second base? I got a girlfriend and all that.
You got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
So now, what is second now? Is that boob?
It's hands
under sweater?
Under clothing.
Under clothing. I always thought they had to actually be wearing a sweater.
No, because
that's why I couldn't score during the summertime.
No, in the new baseball diamond, the hands can go up or down on second base.
Okay, so but you have to grab bare boob. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Second base? Second base is downstairs?
Also.
In the dugout?
Are you going to puke?
I had a few cocktails on the plane.
Oh, my God.
I've had a rough 5 days.
Look at Foster Brooks is sitting across.
You don't understand what I've been doing every night, Drew?
Yeah, I do understand. It's been a show, too.
Let's
just change places. Let me at least sit in that driver's seat and drive this show.
I've been, you know, five, six in the morning, staying up all goddamn night, drunk every night. It's a mess.
It is a mess.
I got like 3 guys in my room. I'm sharing a bed with a guy who's snoring.
Oh my God. Not one of Jimmy's relatives, is it?
No. Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah?
You know, they're around, too. Hey, Chaz.
Yeah?
So isn't second base grabbing bare breasts?
No, because third base is now blowjob.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're trying to get your hands down the pants?
Yeah.
That's going to be a tall order. You're only 13. Listen,
we told him to cool out.
Yeah.
Relax.
You should be scared of that part. I'm 37. I'm a little frightened. It's not the best part of a woman.
Alright, what about the boobs?
What is the best? Oh, that's the best part?
Yeah, I like the boobs.
Okay.
I just, I don't know. 13, take it slow.
Alright.
I don't have any real specific advice. Yeah, I feel uncomfortable explaining.
Listen, it's okay.
13-year-olds how to rape their girlfriend.
I know you're better when you're loaded. You actually have some moral sensibility. It's like your compass is sort of.
I'm not loaded. I just, you know, I had a Bloody Mary in the airport, and I had a couple of cocktails on the plane.
How many times did you get searched by people who called you over by name?
No, I blew right through the airport. They did recognize me, and they laughed it up. There's a little different attitude. The Louisiana folk, when they recognize you, you're in. You're good. Yeah, no, good times over there. All right, let's talk to Bill, who's 20. Bill,
what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Got a quick question for you. Actually, two things. Adam, I can also relate with you. I used to live in Mansfield, which is about 10 minutes west of Foxborough. Everything's either wicked or pisser up there. Do you have to deal with that?
Foxborough is west of Boston, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess here's what I'm saying.
And they're all big guys, too.
Huge guys.
Isn't one of the stadiums in Foxborough?
Yeah.
It's actually Foxborough Stadium.
Yeah.
By Great Woods, all within 10 minutes of each other.
Here's basically what I've learned about the Boston Mass folks and the fans over there. I knew about the sort of country bumpkin white trash, and I knew about that sort of Brooklyn and Long Island kind of Guido white trash.
And you knew about the truck driver speed.
And I knew about the sort of Bakersfield speed freak, whatever. And then I thought that was about it with the white trash.
No, this is the real American. This is American white trash.
I thought you had to be... I thought the Eastern white trash were Italian guys. I didn't there was Irish guys were like lunkheads, too. Big idiots, those guys. Oh, my God. All right, go ahead there, Bill.
I've got a quick question for you. I moved out here 6 months ago. Never really had any problems with allergies. As soon as I moved in the place I was staying, the people have 3 cats. So I saw a local physician, and he put me on a prescription for Claritin and Nasacort. I was taking those, everything was fine, took them through about last September, and they told me to start weaning off. The problem was I'd go off them for a week, and then my allergies would come back terrible.
Right.
Now we're in February, and I found it's almost like an addiction. I'm spending $40+ a month on allergy medicine, and when I went back and asked my doctor about it, he said, there's really nothing we could do about it, and you're going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life.
It's not an addiction.
Okay.
But...
Isn't it speedy?
No.
The thing is, I found myself, if I don't take it, I'm real short of breath.
Yeah, you need to take care of it. You can end up with actually emphysema if you don't.
Okay.
So it
from
is something,
the allergy?
The allergies can create fixed airway obstruction that starts up in the nose and eyes and gets down into your lungs eventually. And if you don't keep it under control, it can actually cause emphysema.
Well, maybe
you should get
out of the house with the 3 cats.
Well, that's one thing, is avoid the cats. You can also try stronger anti-allergy medicines like Zyrtec or Allegra. And there is new evidence. So just recently, some publications came out that suggested people like you should be on the Nasonex and the Nasacort or the Flonase, one of those steroid nasal sprays, all the time.
Well, wait a second.
And should not hold back on it.
But don't you just want to get out of that environment?
Well, there's another thing. You can also get desensitization therapies or immunomodulatory therapies.
You have to eat a cat.
Skin testing, and they
bring it to New Orleans to deep fry it. You have no problem with it.
Fur and all, it'd be good.
Oh.
And Bill, the other thing is you're living now out here where there's tons of allergens coming in off the desert. Even though you're by the beach, you can still, when the winds blow, you get really. Once you're sensitized, it's really difficult to control.
You know what else I learned about the cuisine in New Orleans is they like stuff to look like what it looked like before they killed it.
Yeah, tentacles and all.
Yeah.
Right?
You want the soft shell crab po' boy?
Yeah.
It's a giant crab on a bun.
Oh my God.
I mean, it is a crab. A medium sized crab, the body's the size of your fist and the arms extend 6-8 inches off the edge. Guess what? Deep fried.
Kaiser roll.
Deep fried and just put on a hoagie bun. Just a sub sandwich bun. That's it. Little shredded lettuce. I mean, you're eating. It's like a cartoon over there. Everything you eat looks like what it is. I was scared to order anything with pork in it because I knew I was going to get a whole goddamn pig deep fried. The crawdads, the shrimp got the head on it.
Oh, yeah.
I think they might add parts too. I think they stuck some arms on a shrimp too, just to actually. I was like, How much like the goddamn creature does this thing need to look like while I'm putting it in my mouth? Don't they understand that I don't want the steak to be carved out in the shape of a cow? I like to think that it just comes from some steak mine that we you know, guys coming up with T-bones and porterhouse.
Just drilling
out of
the wall.
I like the idea of a cow getting a, you know, shotgun hammer to the head and gutted and bled. I don't like that. Over there, they seem to relish that. They want everything to look. You get a fish, it's the whole goddamn fish. What is that? They're the cavemen over there. All right. Maybe it's not. I'm not a huge seafood guy. So
that's part of it.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break, Drew.
Yep.
All right. Don't have anybody you want to talk to? Nothing good? Yeah. We'll talk to Brandon, who's 15, wants to help his brother's girlfriend cheat. What?
Cheats and is slutty.
His brother's girlfriend.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk to him.
Then we'll find some new calls.
After this.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew.
What?
Board certified.
Oh, this is why you're handing this to me.
Yeah.
This even has a retarded name. Adam has handed me a foil packet.
Yes.
And in which there has been provided a full collection of gourmet cookies and snacks.
Yeah.
From the airplane.
What
airlines gives you the savory mix?
That would be United. American gives you that hot cup of nuts, man.
Yeah.
That'd be a good name for a band. Hot cup of nuts. Oh,
this is
man.
Low fat.
I had to bring... Listen, the styrofoam peanuts? Low fat, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, styrofoam.
Good. This the foil packet? Low fat. Yeah, everything that tastes like crap is low fat. Here's what I love about this, and people, all I do is go off on these horrible jags about why I don't get better snacks in first class, but all I want is some goddamn peanuts. That's all I want.
Yeah.
They don't have.
You don't have to give us the mixed nuts, just peanuts.
Here's all you need to know. The company Delice is, it provides a full array of snacks in the French tradition for your indulgence. So they make these French gourmet foods. Where do you think they might be
Redlands.
Outfitted? Milan? No, Reno, Nevada. Yeah. I'll tell you, close your eyes.
Well, with a name like Delice.
You go to Reno, you think about Reno.
Hey, what's up?
You're 20, what's up?
My boyfriend contracted genital warts from his last girlfriend. Well, my fiancé now.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a child someday, and I was wondering what effect that would have, and could it be cured?
It cannot be cured. It does, in many cases, go away after about 5 years or so. And in cases where it does not, it's associated with cervical cancer. But it is really not a big issue in terms of childbearing.
Some strains burn themselves out, or is that up to the individual? And do they know the difference between the strains of warts?
Yes and yes.
So you could see somebody's wart and say, this might be the variety that'll burn itself out?
No, you'd have to culture it to know that.
Well, I don't mean use your jeweler's loop, but I mean you could examine somebody,
you could do a test.
Culture it, and go, good news.
Yeah.
This will be gone in a scant 5 years.
Yes. However, that's never done. Effectively, it's just never done.
Okay. Why? Because it's if you got to, something for 5 years, you got something for
forever. It's hard
to get
it
forever.
Expensive and difficult and inaccurate.
And yeah. And plus, tell a 19-year-old you got something on your Johnson for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's life.
Those are the five working years.
Yeah. Well, not for me, but yeah. Yeah.
So, can I, pass this on to my kid?
No.
Well, how much sex are you going to have with him?
Don't, Jennifer.
Trick question.
All you have to worry about is whether or not it's the variety that's going to put you at risk for cervical cancer. That's the big issue.
Playing that rock and jock football game on...
Yeah, how was it? I heard you got a touchdown. Everyone was talking about your touchdown dance.
Who was talking about that?
I heard a couple people. I can't remember, but something about you... squatting down and delivering the ball.
I had a couple of...
Stryker was talking about.
A couple of TDs,
yeah.
And did a couple of good TD dances.
Dan Marino threw the ball, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be wild.
I don't know if people are aware of this with Marino. I don't know if he played any college ball or where people know him from. It was like an extra in Miami Vice or something. Did he play any pro ball? I couldn't tell. He's got a good arm. He throws BBs that Dan Marino does. He throws the ball hard and quick release. And
is he big like Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah. And that's what he was known for in his playing days. But here's the thing. He didn't ease up too much. Now, he wasn't, you know, pumped full of adrenaline and trying to take people's heads off. But the balls he was throwing, he was the quarterback for the Rock and Jock game I played in New Orleans. He was throwing the ball hard. So it was a little hard to handle. Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to deliver the ball. That's probably how that's how he does it.
Hold on. Anderson, you don't know who Dan Marino is? No?
It can't be.
No idea.
No idea.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Are you serious?
All right, good.
No, of course I do.
All right. Oh, you do?
Yeah, he went to Pitt.
All right. All right. Yes, he was.
He played for the Bills for all those years.
No, he played for the
Dolphins.
All right. Well, it's hard to judge you, Anderson, and that's
there is stuff that we've referred to that is as obvious to us that you've looked at us and gone, no.
Yeah, Lidsville.
That's Lidsville. HR Puff and stuff. Come on.
Yeah.
That's right up there with Dan Marino.
It is. It is to me. I would have given you a pass on Marino, pardon the pun, just because you're a hockey guy and, you know, may not have been into football. But anyway, Marino throws a very hard ball. And here's the thing about Marino and anybody at the pro level that you forget about when you're especially trying to play defense is when you're playing football games with your buddies, the ball spends some time in the air and you're able to make up for some bad coverage while the ball's in the air.
Right.
You're guarding a guy downfield. Some guy throws, even if it's a decent pass, it's got a little air underneath it. And while the ball's in the air, you're able to gain a couple of steps and possibly get in and break up the pass. Marino, when he passes to guys, the ball doesn't spend any time in the air.
Yeah.
So a guy runs at you and then does a quick out, pow, and the ball's stuffed into him. And you see the ball in the air and you think you're going to do something, but it's too late. It's there. It's arrived. You can make up no ground while the ball's in the air. And it really makes you, I mean, the next time you're watching television, you're screaming because the guy scored a touchdown on your, have more sympathy for him. When those guys throw those BBs, you cannot do anything but watch the ball arrive to the guy. You cannot make up any ground at all.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Sam?
Yeah.
Let's heal some babies!
20, Sam.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
You got a question? No. Go now.
I'm sorry. I was calling because I have a question about the morning after pill.
Yes, our favorite topic.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. So I was calling because, me and my girlfriend were having sex today, and...
Oh, no. Come on. What? Come on. I don't want to lose this question.
Yeah, pow!
Again, Sam?
Yeah.
And what happened?
So we're going at it, right? And all of a sudden, when it's done, like, you know, we're wearing the condom, everything's safe, and then I pull out and the condom's broken, you know?
All right. So you got to get the morning after pill, right?
I'm gonna go get the money.
Okay. Well, let's put him on hold. We're not,
Woo, Drew, the scintillating.
Yeah, I know, put him on hold. Here's the deal. In California now, you can now get this pill, and in several states around the country, you can get emergency contraceptives without a prescription. Go right to a pharmacy. The problem is they're having difficulty getting policies into the hands of these pharmacists, and corporations have to approve them, and they need doctors. I just had a conference call today with these people from the pharmacy groups and said, why can't you put my name on everything? Right. Get a protocol, put my name on it. Well, we could, but, you know, you don't, well, maybe there's liability.
I still do not understand why they need a name on it if it's no longer requires a prescription.
It requires a protocol that's sort of approved or supervised by a physician.
So, how common is that? I mean, how many things, see, to me and the general lay people, there's medication that requires a prescription, and then there's the over-the-counter stuff that does not.
There seems to be an intermediary step evolving before something goes over-the-counter.
Is there precedent for this? Does this exist for other drugs? Why this one?
Yeah.
What are we doing? What do you mean? I mean, it's like either guy's in prison or he's out. Well, where's the in-between?
Yeah, I can't. There might be other. I just can't think of anything then.
Well, why don't you question this? I mean, it doesn't sound peculiar to you? Why
the
this?
Whole, you know, why not go? I asked, why not go directly to over the counter? Well, why not? Well, you know, we I can't get a straight answer. I don't know. But I do know this. This is a pill that does not cause an abortion. In fact, it is our greatest answer to abortion. It prevents ovulation. Everyone, now finally there's consensus brewing about this. The pharmacists are now understanding this is how it works. It does not interfere with implantation any more than your birth control pill taken the way you usually take it.
Well, I'm sure the Right to Lifers are hard at work firing off apology letters and will be singing the praises of the morning after pill. Probably not starting tomorrow morning. Didn't you say?
I don't think so.
Makes well, sense,
the,
right?
The groups are beginning to surface now that are more into, I don't want people to have sex. That's starting to get a little clearer now.
Look, the people that don't like abortions aren't, they're not so worried about the kiddies.
Yeah.
They're more worried about the people who get to have sex without repercussions. That's the thing
that
the religious people don't like.
And my thing is,
it's no different than the goddamn Taliban, which is, here's how it works. The first angle is, and this is the same with the Taliban and all those other freakish towel heads over there. The first thing is, the white infidel, he will pay. Give him time. He will pay. Allah will repay him. Yes. Let him fornicate. Let him have his Super Bowl parties. Let him drink. Let him not worship Allah. He will pay. Allah will pay him back. What time is it? Omar, what time? No. Has Allah paid them back yet? No.
Let us do it.
All right. I can't wait for Allah. Let's go blow him up. Don't worry. Allah would have paid him back, but Allah's busy. He's probably paying the Swedes back now or something. We'll just intercede here and we'll cut Allah off at the pass. And it's the same with these right-to-life retards out here. Their whole thing is, well, you know, these are human lives. These are lives. This is murder. This is whatever. But they're really what they don't like is they don't like the idea of a couple of 18-year-olds or 15-year-olds or even 21-year-olds just banging away, having fun, sweaty, steamy, unholy sex, and walking away.
No, not right.
No payment, no punishment. No, just got laid, felt good, got my rocks off, called it a night. Never saw the bitch again. No problem. Their thing is, you must pay for that. You cannot just do that. That's not the Lord's plan. So they focus on abortion. But that's not what they care about.
Well, I think there are people that do care about abortion, and those that do They should be getting behind this pill and saying something,
yeah.
Because this is the way to prevent
magically
abortion.
They won't.
And it's
because
available
they're
now.
Hypocrites.
If you want to know
retards.
Where you should be able to get it, the number 1-888 not NOT, number 2-2 late, LATE, 1-888 not too late, should be able to refer you to a pharmacy near you that can get you the right. But everyone of childbearing age should have this in their medicine cabinet in case something like our last caller had happens to them. It's just, it can happen. You don't intend it to happen. You don't want it to happen. But you're glad when you have the protection. And it's like 90 to 89% effective in the first 48 hours in preventing pregnancy.
So you, and you'll make sure that you put together some compelling medical data to try to convince the people that are scouring the top of Mount Olympus looking for remnants of the Ark that this stuff works and is effective, all right? This is your audience. These are the people you got to convince, the ARC people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do everything, baby. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Sally. He's 20, molested by stepdad, living with a strange father now, wants help.
You want
Not
that?
Living with stepdad now, living with old dad.
Old father, yeah.
Let's save the babies!
After this. Hey, yo. Loveline. I'm Adam. There's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Just got in from Norwalk. Did a little TRL stuff with Carson and Britney Spears today.
What?
Ugh. It was raining like hell and colder than a witch's boob.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, today. Yeah, it was just colder than hell out there. Talking a little about the fine Cajun cuisine where they just apologize for everything by deep putting in batter and deep frying it. And here's the other thing too. I don't like, at a certain point, you know, I crapped a live crawdad. this morning. Did I tell you that, Drew?
Crud that crawled out of your ass.
I got up this morning to take a leak.
You cry that came out of
you. I peed almost pure hurricane mix.
Uh-huh.
Came out of my penis.
Yeah.
The day glow orange.
Nice.
And I'm pretty sure it was hurricane.
Yeah.
Came out of there, and then I sat down on the toilet and dropped that crawdad and two pieces of shrimp with the head still on it. That's what was in the toilet. And so I got my fill, is what I'm saying. But at one point, you know what I'm talking about, where you crave some eggs in the morning for breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
About, you go a week without getting them eggs. You miss some of them eggs in the morning.
Why did you get that?
Well, you see, it's something that's like, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's at night or in the day. You know, you're supposed to just eat crawdads nonstop over there.
Right, and clams.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, yeah. Pardon me for not wanting to eat deep-fried shrimp for breakfast, you know?
Right.
Deep-fried stuff for breakfast is a little weird.
Yeah.
And so is weird, like, seafood-based soups and stuff, like, for breakfast, you know? So at one point, I just said, I saw a Denver omelet on there, and I said, dude, just give me that Denver omelet.
Uh-oh.
Had a big old, I love a Denver omelet, got the cheddar cheese on there, but this is just a big old slice of American cheese just melted right in the middle there. You know, American cheese is not cheese, tastes like crap. So I started complaining about it, and everyone at the table told me to shut up and said, what do you want? And I thought, and I said, you know, what do you want? You're supposed to eat a shrimp boat every morning? Like, am I not to expect that you folks can make yourself an omelet? Thank you. Sally?
Yeah.
Good times.
You're 20. Good times.
Yeah. Well, they were.
All right, what's up, Sally?
Okay.
Oh, you were molested by your stepdad?
No, I was not molested.
All right.
He touched my leg, and I, like, moved. But
oh, that's a good.
All right, well, that's enough.
We had a lock on the door.
Good.
What did you tell our phone screener?
What did I tell your phone screener?
Yeah.
The same story I just told you.
All right, and what's the question?
My basic question is I can't have, like, a normal relationship.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, her
like,
leg.
What was your biological dad like?
I don't really know.
How old were you when he left?
Before I was born, my mom never told him she was pregnant.
All right. So.
But basically, like, I go out and I have sex with everybody.
Well, hold on. Who are you living with now?
My biological dad.
How'd you get hooked up with him?
Well, like, he found out because my uncle told him, you know. And then when I was in high school, my senior year, I wrote him and we met. And, after I got kicked out of school and I dumped my ex-boyfriend, whom I was living with.
When did you get kicked out of school?
Grades.
All right, so you have a long history of trouble, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, and right now you're getting into this sort of sexually acting out thing.
Yeah, I was before I was in my relationship, too.
So you've always been kind of a sexual compulsive?
Ever since I lost my virginity.
Which was how old?
I was 18. Right. I was in college.
How's your dad, your biological dad you're living with?
I don't know him, really.
You're living with him, though?
Yeah.
All right, but how is it I can't get a goddamn answer out of her?
Maybe she's just been living with him a day. That's the only possible non-retarded explanation for that answer.
Well, I know. I understand her plight, and I feel for her.
Just see, maybe it's just a couple of days. How long have you been living with your biological father?
4 months.
4 months.
What kind of guy is he?
He likes sports and history and music.
Does he treat you right?
He's nice. I don't really talk to him. I mean, he's...
All right, but he's an okay guy?
Yeah, he's...
He doesn't come home drunk and beat you up.
No.
All right, so he's a decent guy. And I don't know what happened to you. Your stepdad sounded like a minor jerk, but he never raped you or anything. Your biological dad seems to be okay now.
Right.
All right. A little therapy and stop doing whatever you're doing.
Well, addicts behave like this.
So. You do sound like you got some hard miles on you. You addicted to anything?
No.
No? You're not drinking when you do this stuff?
Sometimes, but not all the time. I mean,
all right.
I'm...
Well, how about some therapy?
I was in therapy for years. 12 years.
12 years in therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to kick that guy right in the nuts next time you see him because they didn't help you at all.
No, I don't know.
I know, but my mom loves him, you know.
The therapist.
Be nice to him.
The therapist.
What?
Therapist? No, different therapist.
Oh, boy.
All right. Hey, look, new therapist. Find a new therapist and keep working at that.
I'm suspicious. I am suspicious the reason it didn't work is because you're an addict. I mean, you may not be obvious what that is now. It may not be fully in bloom, but if you are an addict, therapy is usually insufficient to contain these sorts of things, and you usually need a 12-step program. So just look at it through the prism of considering this an addictive process, and there are 12-step programs for people like you out there.
Ready?
Free.
Free, really? Well, 11 of the steps are free, and then you get the balloon payment for the 12th step.
And then you're
right?
paying back.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Yo. Loveline.
Dan Anderson did that.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice sweeping arm cue right to me. That's why I got into radio. That and to complain about snacks on airlines.
And first class.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam. That's Drew.
And to be late for breaks every night.
And to be late for breaks.
Yeah. We will not disappoint on that one.
We're going to have a couple IndyCar racers in here tomorrow night. It would be, who is that? I know Eddie Cheever. And Philippe, how do you pronounce it? I can't see it
Giafone?
From here. All right. An Italian guy.
Giafone?
Paisan.
Huh.
Tell us what it's like to go 220 miles an hour in a car. Todd?
Hi.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
I called originally to ask you guys if I could possibly offer a word of advice for anyone out there who was like me at one point who couldn't really assimilate or associate with a doctor or a quasi-celebrity.
All right, go ahead.
Something like addiction that I've been through and that's been in my life, having come from the East Coast and having more people on a drug like heroin versus crystal meth, whereas people slip into a coma or just choke to death. You know, they're different drugs out here, but it's still a concern of mine. Not everyone gets it on the first time, and people don't be afraid to call out and ask for help. It took me too long and seeing too many people die, or, you know, and thank God I remember those three easy numbers, 911, you know, on a couple of occasions where assuming that the next guy would have possibly meant death.
Where did you get the idea that heroin's not big out here? We treat that all the time.
I personally, thank God, have not
trouble
seen
scoring.
It.
That's all.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it, so that is.
Yeah, it's a huge problem out here.
All right. Well, thanks, Todd. Now, anyone who's addicted,
go get help.
Go get help.
Very simple.
Thanks, Todd.
The great thing about addiction, there's two great things. One is, it's people going from, as Todd mentioned, a life-threatening condition to better than they ever knew they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. It's grassroots.
Yeah, I mean, those 12-steppers.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Chris, who's 22.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Okay. I've been in a relationship now for a little over 4 years. I've been engaged for a little over a year. And I just found out about a month ago that 2 years ago my fiance cheated on me with somebody I knew.
2 years ago she cheated?
Yeah.
And how'd you find this out?
A friend of mine found out and told me.
How did he find out?
Through his girlfriend, which was a friend of my girlfriend back then.
So this is firsthand.
She admitted it though, right?
It took her about 4 days to admit it.
And were you guys in a committed, stable relationship at that point?
Not necessarily. Probably we were in a lot of fights then.
All right, so there you go. It's a different relationship now. You want to screw it up further?
See, I've always felt safe with this girl, and I've known her for about, I don't know, 7 years now, 8 years or so, And I never felt that she would ever, ever do something like this. If somebody was to put a gun to my head and shoot me, if I would have responded to them that, you know.
Well, maybe
hold on. I want him to finish this. Go ahead. Gun to your head and shoot you.
If somebody was to put a gun to my head and say, you know, do you think your girlfriend's cheated on you? And if the answer is yes, you know, shoot me. And if I would have said no, and I would have said no, I would have taken the bullet because that's how much I trusted this girl.
Hey, you know why I get the big bucks now for coming in here drunk talking about the airline food. All right, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
But Drew's question was, is when she cheated, how committed were you two and how stable were you two?
We were, I believed, very committed. I thought, anyway. I guess we weren't, but I thought we were real committed.
How long had you been going out when she cheated?
2 years.
You already had 2 years under your belt.
Yes.
When she cheated.
Yes.
And so you've been, that was 2 years ago.
Yes.
So you've been dating for 4 years.
About 4.5 years.
All right. All right. Well, 2 years, Drew. Hard to argue with that.
Yeah. It's not something you're going to feel good about, but here are my feelings. First of all, people in their 20s do stuff like this.
Yeah.
This is stuff that people do when they're younger. They may never do it again, and this is how people behave in relationships, even committed relationships in their 20s. They F up.
Yeah.
Number two, your perception of her is so over-idealized, she probably is, overwhelmed with living up to your idealized needs.
Uh-huh.
And to some extent, she probably screws up just to sort of get out from under the pressure of being the perfect person that you need her to be.
Well, how about this? When are you guys planning on getting married?
In a year.
Okay. A year. You haven't planned the wedding, anything like that?
Actually, everything's pretty much set in stone already. We've bought a house just a couple months ago.
I'm talking about the actual wedding.
In March. In about a year.
In March?
Yeah.
A year from next month?
A year from
okay,
March.
You're over a year away from the wedding. Did you secure, put a deposit down on a place or get a photographer or band or anything?
You want to know what's so odd was the day I found out about this, 2 days later, we were supposed to put the deposit. So as of right now, no, we haven't put
all
the
all right,
deposit.
Good. Okay, listen.
Just hold off.
Take the pressure
time.
Off.
Yeah.
Don't go nuts right now. Just relax.
Take your time.
Take some breaths.
You're 22.
You're 22. You could get married in a couple of years.
But here's my concern.
Don't freak.
He needs to idealize some sort of mythological creature. I mean, marry that. You're going to marry a human being, Chris. A human being. Human beings F up, especially in their 20s.
What kind of world-class puss is negotiating for the photographer, the band, 14, 15 months in front of the goddamn wedding? What is going on here?
Did you see that? This is all big in life.
Hold
it's
on.
All huge.
This is Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, you got to calm down, buddy. Don't get all crazy with the wedding and her. She's a human. I agree with Drew. Okay?
Don't go nutty.
Just take it slow. You don't have to make a decision. I know you're all freaked out, and I know how guys are 22. This is why you shouldn't get married.
Yeah, but you hear the road he's going down. I thought I could trust her. Now I can never trust her again. I can't trust anybody. No human's worthy of trust. Oh, please.
Right.
Please.
Just relax.
Please.
Okay. It's a weird form of narcissism.
Yes, it is.
You have destroyed my life.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Because you had a couple of wine coolers and
hopped on
some guy I knew after we had a blowout earlier that evening.
The way I treated you, I idealized you, I'm entitled to more.
Yeah.
To better.
See, that's why I don't even memorize their first names, man. Like a cowboy. You know what I mean? Instead of a six gun, though, I have a six string to play music, you know?
That's good.
Brandon?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
My brother has been dating this girl for about 2 years, and within those 2 years, she's cheated on him 10 times.
Ten times. How do you know?
Because she actually confronts him about it and apologized before he even finds out.
Wow. All right.
How old's your brother?
He's 19.
See how different that is than what Chris was dealing with?
No, I understand, but what you're 15.
Yeah.
Why are you in the middle of this?
You don't tell your 19-year-old brother what to do.
I have to, deal with it, every day.
Is he retarded?
I'm not sure.
Is he freaking out all the time?
Well, actually, he did try to commit suicide.
Oh, boy. All right, well.
And,
What about your parents? What are they doing?
Well, my mom doesn't really like her at all.
And, retarded callers have the most difficulty? They cannot edit themselves when they repeat what someone else has said to them.
Right. They have to
use the exact language.
Yeah.
Right. Because my older brother, Kurt, one time he held me down and he said, I'm going to effing S-U, and they have to say it all out because
that's what they heard.
We are have to relive exactly what Kurt said to him.
Yeah.
There's a that see a chimp could do that math, not one of our callers. It's interesting, and it's like reptilian brain.
It's the mimetic brain.
Yeah, and furthermore, it's not them cussing. It's the older brother, Kurt.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It exonerates them.
I'm just reporting what they said. I'm like a stenographer in the courtroom. All right, sorry. So, Brandon, sorry for your older brother, but listen, jackass, you can't use the F word.
David, 17.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, David.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Wow, this is kind of interesting. I've never been on radio, but okay, here it goes. I was diagnosed with cancer, like, spring of 2001.
Good times.
What kind of cancer?
Hodgkin's disease. Hodgkin's lymphoma.
What stage?
Stage, I think it was 4.
So you had the chemo.
Yeah.
All right.
So I had the chemo for all of summer, basically, and just recently got off it, and I was on prednisone and procarbazine, and the doctor told me that I couldn't drink and all that kind of stuff, but I smoked a lot. Like, I smoked a lot of weed, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's like, what you do when you have cancer.
Yeah. Well, like, seriously, it helps a lot. But, I mean, besides that, like, I couldn't drink, and I've been off of chemo since about November.
One of the, did you get the, there's a classic symptom that happens, I'm pretty sure it's with Hodgkin's, that when you drink alcohol, the swollen lymph nodes that are involved with the Hodgkin's hurt.
Oh, no, I haven't, see, that's the thing, I haven't drinking alcohol yet.
Smoking the weed.
Yeah, well, don't drink.
Yeah.
Are you cured?
Well, yeah, from what I could tell, like, all tests say that everything's cool. There's, like, a few swollen, I guess, lymph nodes, but nothing like, it's something that, like, maybe you would have, you know?
Yeah.
Like, kind of normal.
Right.
So, like, what I was wondering is, I've been off of chemo for quite some time, and I was wondering about, because I can't really ask the doctor this, but, like, how long before I can start drinking again, you know?
You can ask him that.
I can.
You go ahead and ask him that.
He's 17.
He's kind of a punk, and, like, it's like a, I don't know, it's a children's hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, of course he's not going to be like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, listen, children, pediatricians should be equipped to deal with 17-year-olds, but I wouldn't be able to tell you this without knowing exactly what happened to your liver during the chemo, which chemos you received. I will tell you that in most of the problems we're seeing these days with liver disease, more advanced form of liver disease, it's usually whatever the underlying condition is plus alcohol that really puts people over the edge. So,
is that chemo, is that a pill form?
No, he probably, injections? He probably got a bunch of stuff, yeah.
You get the injections?
And pills.
It's just poison out that the cancer?
That's a curable cancer.
Yeah, good. The guy saved his life. He calls him a punk.
It's funny.
Desiree?
Yes.
You're 24?
I'm 24.
What's up?
I've been dating this guy for like 6 months now, and I'm afraid to tell him. I'm afraid that he might tell me that I don't love him anymore. It hurts to have sex with him real bad, and I don't know how to explain this to him.
What's the pain? What's the problem?
It's like shooting pain when he goes in me.
So right at the beginning?
Right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. How long has this been going on since the word go?
It's been going on for 6 months.
Is this your first boyfriend?
I've been trying to hide it.
Is this your first boyfriend?
I don't know. No, it isn't.
6 months? And you guys been dating for 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay. So since the beginning.
Yeah.
Have you had this problem with other boyfriends?
No.
You ever get raped?
No.
Molested?
She never had this before. This is just with this guy.
Yeah.
Is there an anatomic problem here?
I really don't know. I've been to OBGYNs, and they say there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I'm not saying so much about there anything wrong with you. Is his size proportionately excessive for you?
Oh, well, he told me he was like a 7.5.
So it's just the size maybe hurting you, right?
Well, does that seem big?
That's kind of big. Around, he's pretty thick.
Well, you know how I measure the penis through, right?
No.
From the center of the anus to just beyond the tip.
Yeah, just a little,
just beyond the end. I mean, whatever that is for you.
Right. A little handicapping.
Well, that, yeah. I believe that's how it's meant to be measured.
Well, I understand that. How long does it take that wound to heal up after you push that ruler straight through your abdomen into your anus?
No, you see, you don't understand. I go from the center of the anus.
Oh, you pull
upward. No. I start at the center of the anus.
I understand. You got to push it through the anus.
No, I don't do that. I use a flexible.
Oh,
like
I see.
A,
come around.
Something
I
a tailor would use.
You go through the perineum. I see.
Right. I go up along the bottom and just be on the tip.
Oh, that's good. That's good technique. I like that.
Yeah.
Where are you coming in? About 4.5 then?
It's not a good day. But the doctor said my anus is exceptionally close to my balls. Apparently, only 1 in 1,000 guys have an anus in that proximity to their balls. He called it a blessing.
I think he called it a vagina.
Oh, maybe that's what he was getting at. I wasn't picking up on that.
Oh, God.
He did suggest I see a gynecologist.
Huh? Well, he was getting right to it.
All right, so what does Desiree need to do?
Desiree, you need to figure something out with this guy. You need to tell him.
Yeah, but the thing I'm worries me about Desiree is that I'm scared to tell him.
Yeah, he's going
to
leave me.
He may not love me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's up with that?
Well, I've been through other relationships to where if I told a guy a certain thing, they would leave me because they think I was a whore or something like that.
All right, well, that's nuttiness. I don't know where...
This is what worries me.
Either you are truly with abusive guys or you're interpreting things they say as though they were abusive. You know what I'm saying? Your perceptions of them are as victimizers. If this guy cares about you, if he's a decent human being, if this is a relationship, you tell him something hurts, he'll try to adjust to make it comfortable for you. Whether it's changing position or just relaxing or lubricant, whatever it is, you need to work with him. And if he doesn't have the feedback of what is harming you and hurting you, there's no way he can adjust.
Do you have any kids?
No, we don't.
No, but you?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, there.
Yes, right. Talk to your boyfriend, please. Please. You're not obliged
to. I'm scared. I mean.
What's wrong with you? What'd your dad do? What kind of guy was he?
Oh, my dad. I didn't know my dad.
Well, other men in your life, were they abusive?
My stepdad.
Did he abuse you in some way?
I didn't want to bring it up, but he used to touch me in places.
There you go.
Didn't I ask that 10 minutes?
Well,
yes. Ask that 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, but
all right.
I didn't think that would
yes.
Would be involved.
No, I knew it.
Yes,
Now here's my problem. The only time I'm wrong is when people lie to me. Mm. That's the way I feel about life. I can never be wrong. It's two options. Either I'm right or someone is lying about me not being right.
On this show, it seems to be true.
She started talking about, I don't want to
tell
him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to love me anymore if he can't touch me. And I knew there was trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, baby, you got to get some help for that because that could be the cause of the problem, too. Did you ever tell your mom or anybody about your stepdad?
I told my mom. My mom did what she could.
Right.
With what she had.
Ooh.
And the info on what I gave her.
She didn't do anything.
He quit for a while.
Yeah, she just told him to cut it out.
Yeah, she just told him to cut it out or she would divorce him.
Right. And then he got back into it?
No, he actually stopped after that.
And how long did this go on from age what to age what?
From age 17 to age 18.
Do you have a little sister?
No, I have an older sister.
Started at 17.
Yeah.
And how did you sit still for that?
He told me that one time. He told me that no man would ever love me because of my weight.
And how old? Wait a minute. How long has this guy been your stepdad? Was he around when you were 2 years old?
He was from age 5.
He
must have been doing something before.
This guy's just a drunken piece of ass.
He used to drink.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that no more, and it seems like since he quit, he hasn't been touching me or trying to.
Well, it'd be nice if he was just I wouldn't want anyone to take a rap for killing him, but I'd like it if he was just running with a gun and tripped and it just blew his head off. This guy's a piece of crap. That's exactly what it would sound like if a guy was running with a gun and blew his head off. So, as if Barney Rubble was running with a 12 gauge.
There'd be a little applause afterwards, though.
Yeah. Hey, Desiree, listen, baby, you got to get some therapy.
I've been through that.
Well, no.
No, you're not. Maybe if you have been, it was totally inadequate.
Full-time job. Not only do you have a, you know, retarded hillbilly stepdad who's molesting you and telling you no man will ever love you, which is a nice piece of information to pass along to the young lady you're supposed to be your father figure to, but you got a mom who saw fit to marry this piece of ass. And listen, all you screwball moms out there, I blame you just as much. Go out and hook up with these drunken pieces of ass, mm-hmm. and then rape your daughters. You're to blame. Believe me, you're to blame. I blame these guys too, but come on, there's a criminal on every corner. You got to bring him into the house and marry him? Leave him alone with your daughter? She should be just as pissed at her mom for bringing this guy in.
Oh, we should not let the woman off the hook. I agree with you.
David?
We got to go to break.
Yeah, hey.
17?
Yeah, I had a question about the morning after pill.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, well, hold on.
Oh.
We'll get back to it.
Okay.
1 second.
All right.
4 seconds.
Okay.
4 minutes.
It's going to wait till you cleared that up. I figured. We'll take a little break. We'll get back with the morning after this. Hey, Loveline. Adam, that's true. Cracked a crawdad. Got my ears ringing from just getting off the plane. And
it's good times.
Whew! That New Orleans is quite a town.
I've been to Baton Rouge. I've never been to New Orleans.
I'm not sure what you're missing. You're not missing anything.
I actually
if you had a set of balls, you'd be missing something. But you, no.
You mean, so I wouldn't take advantage of what was there?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
You know, just general drinking, carousing.
Did you go to strip clubs?
Yeah. Staying up till all hours of the night.
How are the strip clubs?
Well, the strippers they're all right. Met, got in with Larry Flint's brother.
Oh, boy.
He pulled me right in. He's taller than Flint. He's about 5 feet taller than Flint because
he's standing
in the wheelchair. Right. Yeah, but he's a bigger guy anyway, but he looks just like him. And what a gig. Your brother becomes Larry Flint, so he throws you a couple of bones with this strip club to look after, and that's what he does. But all the strippers over there are imported from around the country.
Yeah.
Oh, they drove out from Daytona and stuff because they'll hit Mardi Gras in the Super Bowl, whatever. They come down there. Apparently, there's some sort of like a hospice system or youth hostel sort of thing that strippers have. Because every stripper I talked to was like, I got a friend down here, so I came down here and I stayed with her, and I've been working all week, and then I'm driving back to Virginia. Right. And she comes out and works with me sometimes. Apparently, there's a camaraderie among strippers.
No, it's a exchange.
Is a stripper exchange program?
It's the ASI.
They stay.
The American Stripper International Fund.
They all pack into the same place.
Yeah.
They all have a friend, and they go down to Key West, and then they get a place there because they know another chick there. So
it's a host family for strippers.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. I'd like to extend that welcome to any strippers or if you're thinking about coming to the LA area, need a place to stay. And three hots and a goose. Not a cot. California King, baby. David?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah, I got two quick questions.
All right.
Okay, one about the morning after pill. My girlfriend, she took it twice already, and one because I thought I was sterile, like because of some other stuff that happened earlier on the year.
Hold on a second. You jumped right through that. You mean you weren't using protection because you thought you were sterile?
Yeah, that was the second time. The first time, it was just a mistake. Just plain and simple.
You understand that this does not make any sense to somebody who's listening to this story for the first time.
Okay. All right. First time we had sex.
Yeah.
What? I understand that.
I didn't use protection, and we had to get the morning after pill.
Okay, but if you thought you were sterile, why?
That's the second time.
Yeah, why did you suddenly become sterile?
Because I had cancer.
Okay. See, that's the piece you left out, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, but he said he thought he was sterile.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense when somebody says, well, I had sex twice. The first time, We had a problem. The condom broke. Second time, I was sterile.
Yeah, but
so
I listen, I hate our callers as much as you do, Drew, but I assume that some event happened between then and
what
second
time. What kind
of
chemo did you get? Was it Hodgkin's again?
Yeah, Hodgkin's.
So you
it's Hodgkin's night.
What stage were you?
I was stage 4.
Okay, so same thing as our last
Is that a
time.
Good stage to be in?
No.
Stage that, 4 seems
that's,
like...
That's the highest stage.
Yeah.
1 is the good one.
Yeah.
So
I'd shoot for half.
Yeah.
But the chemo, each stage has a different treatment.
Well, I thought 4 would be bad, but the last guy had 4, got his chemo, and seems to be all right.
It's a curable cancer, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty curable.
Yeah.
So anyway, the third time, was actually, my girlfriend got freaked out because she thought that that she was really pregnant, you know, because she started feeling sick, like, the next day, and I was like, there's no way it's going to happen. But either way, she wanted to get the morning after pill.
Okay.
So she had her friend go and get it because the people there at the clinic said that she couldn't get it because the third time was dangerous or something.
No, they probably didn't say it was dangerous. They said if you're needing it 3 times, there's a problem because this is not a means of contraception. It's an emergency backup measure, and if you're starting to rely on it as a contraceptive, there's a problem. And many places will consider 3 times sort of... That's as far as we're going.
That's the threshold.
You need to do something more retro.
But, I have heard that. I don't know why, and maybe it was for the same reason I heard it tonight, that you couldn't do this stuff that often.
You should. It's not good for you to keep doing it.
Then maybe that's what they're saying.
But it's not dangerous.
Okay.
It's not dangerous, and it's just not contraception at that point.
All right.
You need prospective contraception.
All right. Well, time to get on that. Patrick?
Hey, how you doing?
You're 20?
Yes, sir.
You cheated on your girlfriend?
Actually, my girlfriend cheated on me.
Yeah, another theme. Hey.
I know. That's why
tell you blessings.
You need to call because that other guy called there.
You could have cancer, though, so consider yourself lucky.
Did you have Hodgkin's disease?
You got a choice between Hodgkin's and being cheated on today.
I'd take the cheating.
Take the cheating? Smart.
Yeah.
Smart move.
Just a little bit.
Right. All right, so she cheated on you.
Yeah, well, she cheated on me. Everything was going fine. We were together for about a year and a half. And I hadn't found out about this until 3 months later. So when I finally found out, it was kind of the same thing. Like, she told one of my friends, and my friend held it from me. Kind of like,
yeah,
he didn't want to tell me because, you know, he felt that it was just our business.
Well, so
but
now...
I finally pried it out of him.
Now, so now what?
So now, I'm wondering... I took her back and we're together now. We've been together for another 6 months, so we've been together for 2 years.
Right.
So I'm wondering if I took her back because I'm, like, creating some vicious cycle because, you know, my parents, they were cheating on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my brothers had relationships where they've cheated on each other and their girlfriends. I'm just wondering, did I take her back because, you know, just because I'm following suit?
Or,
I think you found her because you're following
right.
suit.
See, that's the thing, is that that's what you want. You find that person who's a cheater, and that's what
right.
you want. That's what you love.
And now the dance begins.
Right. So the dance is not what you're into. You're into the person who is a cheater.
Well, wait a minute. She can do the cheater's dance, which she may be interested in engaging in, which she's looking at getting back into right now.
Well, she,
but that's because she's that kind of person. That's who she is.
She's had
no doubt.
Past sexual kind of experiences too. Like she's actually been molested
right.
before by a parent, and she's had numerous one night stands with guys like that. And she was actually my first time I've ever actually had vaginal sex with any woman before.
Well, it doesn't have to be like this. I understand you're into this kind of person, but this is not a good choice of someone to be involved with in this way. It's going to be a mess, and it's not going to get better. Not unless she works on radio.
I would say cut your losses and find yourself a nice...
A milder cheater.
Just a nice chick with, more like yourself. Whose vagina mimics more the past of your penis. Or the attitude or posture of your penis.
Meaning... A virgin?
Not necessarily a virgin, just with the... your genitalia sensibilities are sort of on the same page.
Not road weary.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the fact that she's had a lot of partners, but she's chaotic, this one.
Oh, boy.
And I feel bad for her. Somebody molested her.
Yeah.
She didn't get any help, and now she's going to be acting out for the rest of her life. It's game on.
Oh, until she finds a guy, nice guy, then she'll shut down completely. You could get her, you could get her over it.
I could shut her down sexually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could. Yeah. I should offer that as a service.
I was just saying, the therapeutic.
Daughter's out of control, sleeping with too many guys, scared your wife's going to cheat when you're on those long business trips. Just have Ace give her.
Give her a call.
He'll shut her down. Mr. Freeze, they call me. That is your Sub-Zero.
I'll be back.
They spray my liquid nitrogen semen all over them for my special penis bump. And they're frozen solid until you're ready to thaw them and have sex with them. Lex?
Yes?
You're, Lex the girl, like Lexi.
Yeah.
I like that name. You're 17. What's up?
10 days ago, me and my friends, we toked it up and stuff, and today my mom was like, tomorrow you're getting drug tested because I'm applying to go work at Albertsons, right?
Albertsons, all
right. Yeah.
Right? So, supermarket.
Yeah,
it's a supermarket.
Why is your mom involved with this?
Because she handed in the... She works there.
I see.
And right. I'm going to get to work there as the box girl and stuff.
Ooh, a legacy.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a union gig, right?
Yeah.
Oh. I tried so hard to get a goddamn job at a supermarket when I was like 17, 18, and 19, and probably 20. Because they get paid way more than they deserve because really, it's the union way.
The plum was always the guys that got to stock the shelves at 4 in the morning. Remember that?
No, the plum was the baggers.
Oh, yeah.
Or the checkers.
Oh, well, checker, forget.
So they get paid more than airline pilots.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Anyway. I have to get...
How much does this job start at?
$7 an hour or so.
Wait a minute.
$6.75 minimum wage, you know.
Minimum wage? The hell is this? It's a union gig. You get paid $6.75.
You got to join the union first.
Oh. No. All right. Well, anyway. So what about the drug test, Drew?
So your question is, 10 days after you smoke pot, is something going to show up in your urine?
Yeah, I don't want the...
Well, were you smoking every day leading up to that?
No. It was just, I decided to do it with my friends. It was like... The time before that was in October.
You should be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
And I've been drinking, tons of water today. Yeah. I've been, peeing all day, so...
One thing you don't want to do is take anything that would adulter the urine, because if something like a golden seal or something like that shows up in your urine, that is considered a positive test. So if you try screwing with your urine, you're done.
What about the theory, the flushing theory?
That's right. Just don't...
What about it?
It's good.
I mean,
it dilutes it if there's anything, a little bit that might have been affected.
You chug a gallon of water each day and just whiz that system through?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Not quite the same.
Not quite the same. I think more.
I mean, it's not like, once in a while you take a container, like an orange juice container, and you're going to use it to chug some water out of something. So you rinse it once. It still tastes like orange juice, but you rinse it 10 times, it doesn't taste like it anymore.
Right.
But it's not that theory.
It's not that theory. If you, however, fast or exercise, stuff can be mobilized from the fat and show up. But I think the main thing you want to do is when you go in that morning is have a very dilute urine. That's when you want the dilute urine.
I couldn't pass one of those tests. I got hold of some righteous herb last night, boy. I'll tell you what, Drew.
I'm proud of you, dude. You're still under the influence. I got news for you.
I don't.
Although it must have been easier to deal with. You're a little nicer.
I don't smoke much weed anymore, but last night, oh, holy Christ. Pot's getting scary these days, Drew.
Did you see things?
I saw my hand stuffing pizza into my face, if that counts.
That counts.
Four large pizzas showed up the room. There were five guys. Crazy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's really funny, too, when a guy's stoned, he's ordering pizza, and he's got four other stone guys explaining him what they need, and it goes like, so it's like, okay, give me half sausage and half pepperoni, and then give me one plain, and then give me one that's half mushroom, and this guy was breaking the thing into halves.
Yeah.
I don't like that, because they charge you for two toppings.
Oh, do they?
They always do. I don't go for that crap.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Literally a millionaire, but that's how I became one.
Pay attention to that.
Not doubling down on the toppings. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you got this one.
So halfway into it, I start yelling at the guy, instead of getting a half sausage, like two half sausage and two half pepperoni, Just, we're getting four pizzas anyway. Just get one whole pepperoni, one whole sausage. Why are you breaking it up that way? So he can't handle it. He's got to go into the bedroom and get on the phone, and people are yelling other things at him.
And at that point, when you're ordering pizza, too, you're in that condition, it's like calling for an ambulance. I mean, it is an urgent issue.
Now, this is
wonderful.
Ann's got Huelhauser lined up to come up here.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Got to talk to him about
tacos.
Whoa. Tacos. He keeps tacos for sweeps. Tacos have like...
Grant.
I paid a little
tacos
bit.
Tacos have like three ingredients in them, you understand? He usually deals with stuff that just have flour.
We're going to break down each ingredient. I realized, I paid a little attention to him, that he is really a California entity.
Yes.
Okay. People outside of California would not know
him. No, they will not know him. But it doesn't matter.
His stuff is about the trail in California.
Drew didn't know who he was.
California's gold. But Drew doesn't know anything. And you know sporadic bits of information that are oftentimes impressive, but mostly disappointing.
Okay. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Hey, don't worry about it. Rusty?
Yes.
You're 44.
Yes, I am.
And at what point do you give up the Rusty? Into the 50s? You know what I'm saying?
I'll be rusty till I die. I don't know.
Didn't you run into a few Rusties from Boston when you were...
ran into a-holes. Go
right,
ahead.
What's
I'm
up,
sorry, Rusty?
Rusty?
Well, I just want to say that the advice you gave to the gentleman that called earlier was absolutely correct. You should never get too involved with a woman that's that chaotic.
All right. What happened to you?
Well, I used to be a pretty normal guy until I had the incredible misfortune of falling in love with a really messed up young woman.
What was her deal?
She eventually ended up committing suicide.
Oh.
It kind of threw me for a loop, and that was 10 years ago, and I'm only just now beginning to come back to life.
What was her deal?
Well, she was abused by a family member.
Right.
And,
did she kill herself in some gruesome way?
She shot herself.
Mm.
That's gruesome. And was that at your residence?
No, it wasn't. It was at her house.
Oh, all right. So you didn't have to trip over her body or anything then?
No, thank God.
That's good. Did you see her?
No, okay. I didn't even go to the funeral.
Oh, oof. Well, let's not overdo it there, Rusty.
Was this something where there was a lot of chaos and cheating and all that stuff in the relationship?
Yeah. I always put a lot of stock in the loyalty and fidelity, and that just wasn't her. But nevertheless, I felt devoted to her. And
good. Well, how's it going now, Rusty? What are you doing?
Well, when it first happened, I kind of swore off love. You know, I thought I would just never invest that much emotion again, but...
I feel a song coming up. No?
No.
Okay, sorry.
But I'm starting to come around now, although I do have one problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've fallen in love with a young lady that's entirely too young for me.
How old?
11.
17.
Oh. Unacceptable.
You're 44.
Rusty. Listen, just think about how you presented that to us. I think she might be a little too young for me. I know.
A little. Well, but wait a minute. If he was in, you know, if he was out here and he was a producer in the industry in some way.
Of course there's that, but otherwise she'd be his granddaughter.
Right. Well, where'd you meet this young gal, Rusty?
Well, I'm best friends with her father.
No.
Yeah, he's going to love that.
Well,
but I've never put any moves on her. I've never made any.
Do you think she has an interest in you?
No.
All right, well, that's good then.
This is just my fantasy.
Yeah, that's all right.
You weren't abused yourself.
Actually, I was.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who abused him? Who abused you?
Friend of the family.
All right, well, here's the deal. You get some treatment for that before you act out on somebody. You're gonna be attractive to young people. It sort of makes you stuck at the age you were when you were abused, and you're stuck there. And as you're having been abused, that you were trying to rescue that part of yourself that you saw in your old girlfriend who eventually committed suicide. Now, as opposed to being a rescuer, now you're going to become a victimizer. It's all the same issue, just different valences, different sort of charges on this.
And also, from a medical standpoint, if a guy named Rusty nails you, I believe you need a tennis shot.
No pun intended.
Thanks, Drew. You jackass. You got to step on every good joke. Come on.
What?
Son of a bitch.
I thought it would help you if he nails you, Rusty.
I know, but you got so caught up in that, you missed the whole tetanus part.
That was all part of that. No pun intended. It's going to break.
All right.
Good to have you back.
Okay. My theme song. I miss that one.
Oh, come on. They must have been hearing this all over New Orleans.
I was hearing it in my head as I was slicing through the crowd into the trendy clubs.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if the other folks were hearing it.
Of course. You were in the strip club?
I don't know. Some of them seemed like they were tamping their foot to a little different tune.
Oh, this one. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think this may have been a little bit more like they were hearing. Yeah.
Certainly, you walking in here tonight, I heard this one. This is precisely what I've heard all evening.
Hey, I had a long day, Drew, and a very long few days.
I'm just saying.
I got, you know what time I got to my house this evening? 9:25.
Oh.
Yeah. Dustin?
What's up, man?
22 there, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I got a quick question for you. Seems as though every time me and my girlfriend have sex, she's... has this sensation that she has to pee.
During the sex or afterwards?
During.
Okay. Is that right around the time she's reaching climax?
Well, I'm not sure. It seems as though she's kind of holding back.
Because she's afraid she's going to pee.
Probably.
Yeah, that's kind of a common complaint.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start using that one.
So what should I tell her to do?
Relax. And some women will pee. Some women, that's actually what will happen. Some it's just a sensation and they're sort of embarrassed and ashamed. You gotta reassure her things are okay and maybe change position and work with her a little bit.
Okay. We got a homeless guy who accidentally drank pee.
I wanna hear this.
Don?
Yeah.
Are you a homeless guy?
Yeah, I've been living in my car for about 3.5 months.
Oof.
And I moved out of my brother's house, and what happened was, it's just where I ate fast food at Burger King, and when I woke up, usually after when I wake up from a nap in my car, I'll drink the leftover ice that's in the container, and it was filled with my own urine because where I parked my car, I couldn't go outside and go to the bathroom. And so when I drank it, I drank about halfway. I drank about 8 to 12 ounces of it.
No, you did not.
No, I swear to God I did. And
well, how high? Well, hold on.
How drunk was he? Ask him that.
Listen, first off, he said 8 or 12 ounces. So he's got a 16, 24-ouncer of urine. And he thinks, now mind you, he thinks what's in the cup is melted ice.
Right.
So first off, pick up a 24-ounce cup that's filled with urine.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel any different in your hand. Nice warm urine than the cold liquid that would be at the bottom of the ice.
The 3 ounces of
that. Then you take that, and you know how your reflex is. You take a sip of orange juice, or what you think's orange juice turns out to be milk, you spit it out. Urine, you spit even further than the milk.
He could have been drunk.
That's what I asked him. He said no. And so he kept chugging the urine, not knowing it wasn't the plain melted ice.
Maybe he's overstating the amount. Anyway, that's here.
All right. Don?
Yeah, I heard you. I'm in AA. I got 6 years clean and sober, no drugs, no alcohol.
Okay.
And what happened was was mistaken it. I woke up right from my nap and I just started chugging, and then I did like you guys just said, I spit it out all over my car, but I got at least 4 to 6 ounces. I got a hefty amount in me and I started feeling queasy, and that was about 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
So am I in any kind of hep C risk or something like that?
You gave yourself hepatitis?
No, I mean, what's the worst that could happen to me, I guess? I'm scared.
Somebody could date you and have to make out with a urine mouth. Here's the saddest part of this story, the most tragic part, is he usually keeps a fudge brownie for dessert. You see, Drew, that he usually eats after his nap. But he defecated on a Winchell's napkin because, it wasn't polite to do it out in the street.
Right.
And there was some confusion. And he got a good 14, 15 ounces into that dookie log before he'd realized.
He didn't realize that brownies came with corn?
He ordered a pecan roll. Drew loves dookie talk. Hey, Don?
Yeah.
The urine is, it's sterile.
Since it's my own, am I going to be all right, or should I go down to my doctor?
Listen,
you should drive your house down to the doctor.
People stay hydrated at sea by drinking their own pee.
Yeah.
So and it's okay?
You can get your remix sort of. You get your B-wing climb up. You can get problems from that.
Well, yeah.
You're never clearing the stuff out of your system.
Yogis do it. You'll be fine.
Don't worry about it. But anyone that can believe he could infect himself with hepatitis C could drink a 12-ounce of pee.
Well, the guy who's on his fifth sip of urine and not knowing the difference between that and Mr. Pibb, that's the guy who frightens me. Yeah.
Well, he's the same guy who thinks he can give himself hepatitis
C. All right, buddy. Hey, how about getting a job? Getting out of the car. What about it, buddy? You're sober for 6 years now, right?
I'm a second-time caller. I called about a year ago, and I was taking lithium, and I have depression and anxiety thing going on, and I'm trying to get a grip on it. I asked for therapy from my doctors, and they want to get me stabilized first before I get on therapy, they said. Does that sound true?
Yes.
True. Is there a 12-step program for urine? Does that exist? UA?
PA? No.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a short little break. Drew and I are going to have a big fat laugh, and then we'll be back. All righty. Well, there's the show.
Oh, Adam.
Delighted to be back.
You won't remember this show tomorrow. That's nice.
Please.
You're
fine.
You driving home, right? We have to call Culver City PD here.
Oh, no, they got bigger fish to fry. They got people driving through red arrows when the signal is green at 2 in the morning with no traffic coming from any direction. So they got to bust those people because, you know, those folks are dangerous individuals, you know. All right, we'll take a little extendo break. Going to have some Indy racers in here tomorrow night. Always, I am a bit of a motorhead, so it's always a good show when I can get into it with those guys. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Go Pats!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.